The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
And thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, right here today at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, which we bring you every Monday at 1 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. And one of the things that's so great about Progressive Radio is that you can tune in anytime, day or night, besides our regular on-air time at 1 p.m. on Monday, and listen to any archived show right here on Progressive Radio Network, Gary Knowles Network. You can hear Gary's shows or any of the other wonderful shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. And today, we're very happy to bring on board our guest, and many of you may be familiar with him because he's on media all the time, and that is Dr. Johnny Bowden. Dr. Bowden? Oh, hey, Dr. Bowden. Let me...
Johnny, please.
Okay, Johnny, I'll tell people about you a little bit. You have a master's degree in psychology and counseling, as well as a PhD in nutrition, and he has earned 6 national certifications in personal training. He is board certified by the American College of Nutrition and a in-demand speaker at conferences and events across the country. And Johnny is on a mission to help you look and feel better than ever before. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now,
so,
you've been doing this a very long time.
Yeah. Let's not bring that up. It's been a while. Yeah, I've been doing
this. Well, you know, I got involved in natural healing in 1964.
Okay, you've been doing it longer than I do.
I don't regret it for 1 minute. So what exactly brought you into this arena?
Well, it was a career change for me. I was a professional musician, and not an aspiring one, let me add, but a actual working musician. I worked Broadway and national tours and regional theater and all sorts of stuff like that, and played with the, you know, played and conducted shows with a lot of Tony winners, and you know, I was having a decent career at that. But I was very out of shape, and I was very unhealthy, and I was a typical musician, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and this in the Woodstock generation, and the whole thing. And I, you know, considered 2 cigarettes and a cup of coffee a good breakfast than you'd have around noon. So I was hardly an exemplar of health on any level. And I'd tour with these actors, and the actors were, you know, really pretty in shape, and they'd go to the gym, and, you know, we'd be on the road, there's not a lot to do, and so I was always curious about what it would take to get in shape, so I started hanging out with the actors and asking them to kind of teach me a few things here and there with the weights, and I'd go to the gym with them, then I'd come home and, you know, have a cigarette. Well, over the course of about a year or two, I got really bitten by this bug. I mean, I slowly gave up my bad habits, I slowly changed the way I ate, I started going to the gym on a regular basis, I became addicted, and I saw such a transformation in my own life that I just felt I wanted to do something with this. So I decided to become certified as a personal trainer. And that was kind of the beginning of my journey into a career change. And, you know, the rest is I got certified, and then I picked up some more certifications, and I went back to school, and I became the I worked for Equinox Fitness Clubs as the dean of their fitness training institute, and I began being a spokesperson for a lot of things, and my career just sort of changed trajectories around 1990, and I've been doing this sort of thing in one form or another ever since, for 20 years.
And you very much enjoy sharing this information with the public.
It's my passion. I was in private practice for about the first decade. First as a personal trainer, then as a practicing nutritionist. But my real passion, and it's not that I don't love talking to people individually, but my real passion is speaking to audiences, writing books. I've got 8 of them out with 3 coming in the next 2 years. You know, writing columns. I write 4 monthly columns. I do a lot of speaking, a lot of media, a lot of conferences, and I really love just firing people up about possibility. And getting in front of audiences and talking to audiences like yours and the people who read me on AOL or follow me on Twitter, johnnybowden.com. You know, I love getting the message out and seeing the eyes of those audiences just light up with, you know, thoughts of possibility that they didn't think they didn't think what was on the plate before. Like, I really could have a body that I'm proud of. I really could have energy when I wake up in the morning. I really could have a great sex life. I really could do all these things that, you know, in my mind I think are kind of closed to me. And I've tried, you know, and I love firing them up with hope and passion and motivation. And that's really what I love doing.
And what does it take? Now, so often we see on television and on the internet ads for things that say you don't have to change your diet, you don't have to exercise,
well,
you don't
you
have
see,
to change what you think
right.
about, just
well,
take
Ellen,
this pill.
This goes to the heart of what's going on in the country politically and economically and every other way. The reason that we are, one of the reasons, and I'm no economist, although I read pretty heavily in this field, in a lot of fields that I'm not expert in, but I'm no smarter than anybody else in these fields, but I am pretty observant. And I can tell you that it seems to me that one of the many reasons, if not the main reason, that we're in the terrible bind we're in economically now is that people believe that same thing about money. Oh, I can buy stuff I can't afford. I can stick stuff on credit cards. Oh, we'll worry about it later. Oh, this will all take care of itself. And it's that same, give it to me now with no effort, with no change, and I can have everything I want without having to do anything for it. I'll just
excellent
put it on the
analogy.
Card.
That is really
I'll
a great analogy.
I'll just put
analogy.
It on the credit card. Well, guess what? The credit card came due, folks, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. And if you read, I don't want to go too far into this, but if you read, you know, any of the commentators who kind of know what they're talking about, the same thing happened with the mortgage stuff. People just said, oh, I can't afford it. I don't have any credit, but I can have it anyway with no effort, with no work, with no nothing. They'll just give me the money. And they did. And now we're paying the price. Well, it's the same thing in health. If you see an ad that says, hey, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to change your diet. You don't have to change the way you eat. You don't have to change your relationship with food. You can have this magic body just by signing up for this infomercial. Well, guess what? It's exactly the same thing.
Very good. Very good analogy. I like that because I think a lot of people could certainly relate to that. Now,
but here's there's another side to what I'm saying that I want everybody to understand. That is, don't take from that. That's really an empowering message. It's not a disempowering. A lot of people will hear that and go, I knew it was too good to be true, so I do have to do a lot of work. Well, okay, well, I might as well not bother. See, the other half of that is, I believe if you tell people the truth, on some level they really want to hear it. They really want to be told, hey, those commercials are a crock. They don't work. You know they don't work in your heart of hearts. You know that pill isn't going to make you lose weight. You know that. And I think when you tell people that, you can see it in their eyes. They're kind of like, yeah, I knew it. I just wanted to believe it anyway. I get it. We all want to believe that. We all want to believe that we could live in a, you know, $10 million mansion and only have to pay $400 a month. I mean, we all want that. But the fact is, people like hearing the truth. Because once you tell the truth about it, it clears the way for what really is possible. And the fact is, yes, you can't have it without making any changes, but the other half of that message is you can have it. You really can. Don't give up just because it's not that easy. Take it on like a challenge that you're up to the task to doing. That's the empowering part of that message. Yeah, let's clean off the bull cocky about what, you know, how you don't have to do anything, you don't have to change anything, you can just take a pill, it's all going to happen magically, blah, 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 blah. Let's get rid of that. And let's say, hey, here's this powerful person I have in front of me. You may not believe you're powerful, but you are. You've done X, Y, and Z in your life. You've overcome these challenges. Well, guess what? You can take on weight, you can take on diabetes, and you can take on health. It can happen, and you can do it.
And we've seen so many, many people. I've written several books, and one is called The Weight Loss, The Alternative Medicine Guide, and we have so many people who have made that commitment and made that change, as I'm sure you hear all the time from people who become inspired by your example.
Thank you. Now, there is another half to this, and that is that, you know, I teach a course to professional coaches and nutritionists called, you know, Becoming a Certified Weight Loss Coach. And there is a second half to this. Because motivation, which, by the way, I have a very different take on motivation than most people do. I think you don't need it, and you can still get results, but that's another story. And I talk about that in my diet boot camp program a lot. I have a 15-minute talk on motivation and why you can bypass that whole sand trap. But that's another story. What I was going to say is that besides the motivation, besides the perseverance, besides the commitment, besides all the stuff we're talking about, you also kind of have to know what you're doing. And one of the things that we see in our weight loss coaches' practice all the time is people come in and they go, I know what to do, I'm just not doing it.
But yeah, we
hear that a lot, but here's the two parts. Everyone works on, well, why aren't you doing it? And that's what we've been talking about the last 15 minutes. You know, the power, the personal empowerment and the being able to overcome obstacles. But the other part of that is that when I ask, I never let somebody say to me, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it, without asking them, really, what do you think you have to do? And I will tell you that 90% of people who think they know what they have to do and they're just not doing it don't know what they have to do. They are trying to do the wrong thing. So it's a two-part thing that has to be addressed. We have been given horrible nutrition information in this country. We've been told to eat no fat. We've been told that cholesterol causes heart disease. We've been told to avoid saturated fat at all costs. We've been told higher protein diets are dangerous. We've been told higher fat diets are dangerous. We've been told you need carbs for energy. We've been told such a crock of bullcocky that it would take hours to just sort it all out. So when people tell me, I know what to eat, I just don't do it, I start with, really, what do you think you're supposed to be eating? And we go from there, and then when we get that stuff correct, then we talk about how to actually do it.
Well, let's talk about longevity. Now, I like that word longevity better than anti-aging.
I do, too.
And you do have a book. You have a lot of books. So how about your book, The Most Effective Way to Live Longer?
Okay, well, let's start with the whole anti-aging thing, because you bring up a wonderful point. Anti-aging is a terrible term. I mean, you can't be anti-aging. We're aging every minute. We're aging an hour during this talk today. I mean, the question isn't how you stop aging. The question is, how do you take this natural process and make it healthy and optimal and vital and fabulous? So that, I talk in the book about something I call rectangularizing the curve. Now, you can all visualize this when you're listening at home. If you look at the curve of your life, it starts off, you're a kid, you know, your energy, in your 20s, you know, your energy levels up to the, picture this like a big curve where it's up to the roof, it's at its highest level, your productivity's up there in your 20s, 30s, maybe early 40s, then things start to go down a little. Now, picture that curve just starting to go down a little bit, and it goes down into your 50s and 60s. And it's getting lower and lower, and 70s and 80s, you're just hanging on, and then, you know, you kind of expire. And that's what the curve looks like for a lot of people. When we talk about rectangularizing the curve, now picture this. Everything goes up, you know, in your teens and 20s. Now imagine it staying there, 20s, 30s, 40s, with only maybe a tiny little bit of descent. I mean, maybe a degree or two, but it's staying up there to the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then it drops very quickly in the last couple of days or last couple of weeks of life. There's a loss of function and a very gentle expiring, and you're living pretty much at the height of your powers up until the end. Now, doesn't that look a lot different? That's what we talk about when we talk about rectangularizing it. Now, nobody's going to live like Lance Armstrong up to the day that they're 96 and then they're going to die, but you could certainly make this curve a lot more like a rectangle than it is right now. Make sense?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like that term, rectangularizing your curve.
The curve, right, exactly, the circle. So you know, we talk about in the book The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. I'm just looking at the things that the longest living societies on Earth have done. That work has been researched beautifully by my friend Dan Buettner, who wrote a book called The Blue Zones, where he actually went and lived with four of the area with the people who lived in the four areas of the globe most known for producing healthy centenarians. These are people who live to 100 routinely. They have the highest levels of centenarians in these four areas. There's since been a fifth or a sixth that have been discovered as well. So he went and looked at what they might have in common, what kind of life they lived, and I looked at his research and I put it together with the research that exists that I was able to access on the heart, the brain, the immune system, the hormone system, what causes these things to slow down or to break down or to, you know, just to stop working well. And I looked at all of this stuff together and put together what I felt was, you know, what we could extract from this in terms of preventive strategies we could take right now that would make sure our lives go on at the highest level for the most number of decades.
Well, what are some of the things you discovered?
Well, the first thing is I talk about in the book something called the Four Horsemen of Aging. The first thing I noticed that is when you read the literature on heart disease, when you read the literature on dementia and Alzheimer's and just about every degenerative disease, you see that there are kind of four processes that affect every single system in the body. They wear it down, they break it down, they make it function less optimally. Now, they don't necessarily, in some cases, they may cause a disease, but most cases what they do is make things worse, make recovery longer or impossible, and generally contribute to deterioration. And so what I did was address these four processes, the four horsemen of aging, and looked at what causes them, what we can do to minimize their damage, what foods we can eat, what supplements we can take, what lifestyle changes we can make, and how they impact these four killers. And the four killers are probably number one with a bullet, inflammation. Number two is something called glycation, which is basically when you have too much sugar in the system, it just screws up everything. The third is oxidation. Now, everybody who listens to you certainly knows what has heard the term antioxidant. Well, antioxidants fight oxidation, antioxidants. So oxidative damage is one of the four horsemen of aging. And the fourth one is stress. So we've got inflammation, glycation, which is too much sugar or a form of having too much sugar. We have oxidative damage from free radicals, and we have stress. Those four things taken together or individually contribute to the degeneration of practically every organ system and every integrated system in our body. The hormone system, the immune system, everything wears down and is impacted by oxidative damage, glycation, stress, and inflammation. So we talk a lot in the first section of the book on how to combat those four horsemen of aging.
Well, how do people find out, for instance, that they may be having inflammation? Because some of that is obvious, like a swollen joint, but some of it is very hidden.
Well, that's a fantastic question, and I love nothing more than explaining the answer to that. There are actually two kinds of inflammation, and you actually alluded to both of them just now in your question. The first one, everybody knows about. If you stub your toe really badly, you slam something, you drop a hammer on your toe, and it swells up, you know it. That's inflammation. And what is happening there? Well, in case there's a puncture wound or something, the body is sending tons of fluid down with white blood cells to surround any possible incoming microbes and get rid of them and fight off any potential infection. So that kind of inflammation is actually part of your body's healing response. If you get an abscess tooth, if you get an asthma attack, if you get a skin eruption, if you get a really painful knee, you know, like from a lot of stress on your knees from doing squats or playing sports, you know what that is. That is called acute inflammation. Everybody knows what it is. It hurts like heck. We take anti-inflammatories, interestingly enough, don't we? Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories is the prescription of choice for that kind of thing. So that's acute inflammation. That's what you were talking about when you said, you know, some of it's very obvious. But the kind that kills, I mean, acute inflammation hurts. Chronic inflammation kills. Chronic inflammation is flying beneath the radar. It is much like high blood pressure. It has no visible symptoms. You know, they often say with high blood pressure, the first symptom is a heart attack. Well, with inflammation, you don't have symptoms. It's in the vascular system. It's in the circulatory system. It's micro damage that's done to the walls of the vessels that transport blood. And when that damage continues, cholesterol runs in there to try to patch it up. So blaming cholesterol for the damage is like blaming the firemen. You know, you go to a fire and there's a lot of firemen around. You go, oh, these firemen must be the ones causing the fire. Let's get rid of the firemen. No, you idiot. It's not the cholesterol that's causing it. It's the inflammation. So in this kind of inflammation is very difficult to if you're walking around, you can assume you've got some inflammation. The question is how much. When you hear of these athletes who die on the field at 24 and they have perfect cholesterol, I guarantee you there's inflammation is part of the issue. So the point is, and your point is very well taken, how do we know when we have it? Well, we have an imperfect test. It is hardly one that I think it's not ready for prime time in the sense of telling us overall how well we're doing. But there is a test called the CRP test, C-reactive protein, that is a general measure of inflammation. Some doctors will give it. Some doctors will tell you you don't need it. The fact is high levels of CRP are associated with a lot worse health outcomes. So that's the one test we have. One of the reasons I think we haven't seen a $20 billion a year industry, in a drug industry, in lowering inflammation is because I'm not sure they know exactly how to do it with drugs, but we certainly know a lot of foods and supplements that do it, and I can start with fish oil, which is the most anti-inflammatory substance on the planet. Omega-3s are the funding for your anti-inflammatory army. And we don't get nearly enough in our diet, not even close. Our ratio of the inflammatory foods and fats to our anti-inflammatory foods and fats is about 20 to 1. So we're funding this inflammatory army, and we're underfunding this anti-inflammatory army. So the first thing we want to do, even without a test, just as a general preventive to lower inflammation in the body, and you better assume you've got some inflammation and you just want to keep it under control, is to supplement with omega-3 fatty acids. Eat fish frequently, to take fish oil.
Do you think the vegetables that are high in omega-3 can also be useful? Like, for instance, there's wild plants like purslane and chia seeds. They also
yes,
have
those
some.
Those are sources of alpha. Now, there are three omega-3 fatty acids. Two of them are found in animal foods like fish. Those are DHA and EPA. Those are the two that have been the most heavily researched. Whenever you hear research about omega-3s and heart disease, it's almost always, it's 99% of it, is the two that are found in fish, DHA and EPA. the ones that they give for pregnancy are DHA because that's what the baby's brain, that's the majority of the fat in the baby's brain. So those two are the most researched. Now, the one you bring up, the one that comes from plants, I'm a big fan of flaxseed. Big fan of flaxseed oil, love it. Barlean's flaxseed oil, right, on my shelf, I use it all the time. But that omega-3 is called ALA, alpha-linolenic acid. And while there is good research on it, it's not as voluminous as the research on the other two, and it needs to convert in the body to the other two. So before it can really say, it has some benefits on its own, but the real benefit is from the other two, which alpha-linolenic converts to. However, if you're only getting your omega-3s from the plant sources, the alpha-linolenic acid, which is found in plant sources, like flaxseed oil, flax seeds, chia seeds, purslane, when you're only getting it from that, you better take way more than you think you should be taking because the conversion is probably under 10%.
Right.
Make
so
sense?
For your body to convert it is a little bit flatter than the fish oil.
It can convert it to the other two, but there are a lot of factors that impact that. Women.
Let me ask you this. Are you familiar? I'm sure you've seen recently on TV, they've been heavily promoting a drug form of the omega-3 fish oil.
Yeah. Let me tell everybody
who's
listening to this, that is utter and complete bull cocky. A high-quality fish oil, and I can give you 10, I don't make my own products, and I have products on my website that I endorse, about 20 different companies, none of which I have an ownership stake in, but these are just high-quality companies. Any one of those, Barlean's, vital nutrients, pure encapsulation, designs for health. These are all health food, and these are all professional brands that are sold to health professionals. Any one of those fish oils is absolutely as good as that pharmaceutical one. There is no difference. The only thing is that the pharmaceutical companies can no longer ignore the amazing research on omega-3s. It's not a patentable molecule, So they had to come up with a way of making a drug out of it. So they came up with a way of making a drug out of it. It's the same old fish oil, and their claim will be, yeah, but you don't know what these supplement companies put in their stuff, and ours is, you know, pharmaceutical. Nonsense. Bull cocky. Get yourself a high-quality fish oil, Barleen's, any of the brands I just mentioned. There's a number of them. I'm not selling any. I'm just telling you that high-quality fish oil. I'm not talking about what you get at the big box stores that's been sitting on the shelf for a year that comes from China. I'm talking about these really reputable quality companies that make stuff in small batches and test it every single way for every kind of impurity you can imagine. Get it from, you know, wild-caught salmon in Alaska. They, you know, it's not coming from the bottom of the Hudson River. High-quality fish oil absolutely will do exactly what that supposedly pharmaceutical drug will do, and at a fraction of the cost. And by the way, going back to the economics of this whole thing, if people had to pay for their own medicine instead of it all being covered by insurance, they would look into this a little bit, and they go, wait a minute, I'm going to pay $100 for some pharmaceutical version of fish oil that they're claiming is better, and I can get extremely high fish oil, the exact same dosage for $9 or $19, and they're charging $100? Well, you know what? If people had to pay for it, they'd do a little research and find out that it's the same damn thing.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a very good answer. You know what? We have to take a couple-minute break right here to allow other shows to be announced right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with today's guest, Johnny Bowden. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
The Progressive Radio Network, your premier progressive radio station.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is John Rappaport inviting you to my new radio show on the Progressive Radio Network, which will air every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm an investigative reporter. I've spent 20 years researching health and medical fraud, deep politics. I'll have lots of very knowledgeable guests on the show who have information to share with you so that you can live a more healthy and informed life. Join me every Wednesday on PRN. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the John Rappaport Show. See you then.
Join us, Bruce and Marianne Curtis, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network for Truth and Freedom. We present provocative conversations with the world's most brilliant minds in the areas of holistic health, spiritual wisdom, politics, and a host of other topics. Some of our topics include the latest work in non-invasive therapy on the brain, the truth beneath the global economic meltdown, healing power of the breath, and the sublime truth beyond all religious traditions. In this age of transformation, we need to look beneath the surface appearance of things to see the underlying reality. From material that is always illuminating and often liberating, tune in to Truth and Freedom on the Progressive Radio Network Fridays at 3 p.m.
Hi, I'm Daryl Clark.
Bob Levis.
Ron Waits.
And we're your Progressive News Weekly team here on Progressive Radio Network.
Shank of the Morning, the Shank of the Week, Wednesdays, 10 a.m., 11 a.m.
We are you as if you had a mic in your hand the way we do.
It's news you can use. News for you, by you, and of you.
Grassroots activism.
That's all she wrote, folks.
To the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
Yeah, and I think we may be back. So I do want to welcome you back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're here on Progressive Radio Network. And we have a wonderful guest with us today. And I want to tell you that we'd also like to thank those who help bring you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Those who help bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, including Nature's Answer. Nature's Answer has been providing quality nutritional supplements to the educated healthcare consumer since 1972. And today we are very happy to bring on board our guest, Johnny Bowden. And he says to call him Johnny, and you can check him out at johnnybowden.com. That's J-O-N-N-Y-B-O-W-D-E-N. And he is a board-certified nutrition specialist, and he has been telling us about things that you can do to make changes in your life. And don't you think that by using your books, visiting your website, people can take sort of little mini baby steps at first, like you did yourself, until you saw that, boy, this
works. Listen, when I started exercising, I was still smoking. I was gradual. And the thing that people need to know is there's a lot of different ways to change habits. I mean, there isn't just one way to do it, and some people do it gradually. You talk to people in 12-step programs who have gotten very severe addictions out of their lives. They'll tell you they probably took 11, 12 tries before they ever wound up in that, you know. I mean, it's rare that somebody just throws away their cigarettes and that's the last you ever hear of them. It happens, but don't be discouraged if that's not you, because you can actually make small changes. And in fact, I encourage people to do that. One of my first quote-unquote diet programs, or, you know, transformation programs, the first book I ever wrote, was based on making one small change a day, you know, just adding one food back. You're eating seven meals at McDonald's, great. Eat the seven meals at McDonald's plus one serving of peas. You know, I mean, there's ways to make small, gradual changes. It does not have to be all at once. And, in fact, some of the all-at-once stuff fails miserably because it's too much of a shift from what people are doing now.
Well, what do you find that really works?
Well, it works for what?
Well, for someone to begin to see a change from something small that they add or subtract from their daily life.
Well, it's a very tricky question because, you know, the advantage of small changes are that they are easier to do and they begin a slippery slope towards good, towards an overall lifestyle change. The disadvantage of small changes is they don't produce immediate results. But then again, neither do big changes. I mean, we're talking here about, and that's why in my diet bootcamp program, for example, in every book I write, every tweet that I tweet, you know, I'm always cognizant of the fact that we have to readjust our thinking about what it takes to transform your life. You know, you don't get wealthy in a day, you don't get thin in a day, you don't get healthy in a day. You can do certain things, like, for example, you can control your blood sugar within 72 hours. You can make a big difference with that. Again, you might not notice that unless you actually have a blood test and check your fasting glucose, but you can bring blood sugar under control in about 3 days, and insulin, you can make a big impact on those, and they may affect your energy. You can probably make a very big impact in how you feel by changing your sleep habits, and that's pretty instantaneous. So there are some things that you'll notice, but they won't be like you're 300 pounds and the next day you wake up looking like a Calvin Klein model. That kind of instantaneous thing you're not ever going to get. So let's just kiss that one goodbye and let's talk about the kinds of things that we can attend to. And also we have to remember that just because we don't necessarily notice a change right away, it doesn't mean that there isn't one going on the cellular level. Look, you start smoking, I think everybody will agree that smoking increases the risk of lung cancer by double digits. Is that uncontroversial at this point? Okay. If a 20-year-old starts smoking, guess what? They don't have lung cancer the next day. So even this horrible stuff happens at the cellular level under the radar doesn't mean it's not happening. They've started a process that may take 10 years, it may take 20 years. They've started a process that more than likely is going to end in a really bad situation. In the same way, when you start eating blueberries on a regular basis, or eating fish twice a week, or taking fish oil, or sprinkling flaxseed on everything that you eat, or having, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 servings of vegetables a day, even if you have to start with one, there is stuff happening on the cellular level. There's less oxidative damage. There's a reduction in inflammation. There may be some systems that are fortified to fight cancer a little more effectively because certain compounds, for example, in broccoli, stimulate enzymes in the liver that get rid of carcinogens. So there may be some cellular things happening here when you feel all of a sudden different because you had a serving of broccoli? No. But over time, the amassing of these habits and the adding to these things and the replacing of the ones that are destroying your body, like eating too many trans fats, or too much sugar, as you replace these with the other habits, there's a cellular turnover. There's a big change going on underneath. It's rumbling around there. You might not notice it the next day or the next week, but believe me, it's happening. And, you know, if you can just keep your eye off the clock and thinking that this is going to happen overnight, you'll be on your way to having a really good life.
That's so true. So what would be some simple steps someone can take? You know, you must have charts and sort of advice that anyone can use today to make some positive changes.
Well, the first, in no particular order of importance, the first thing I'd start with is sleep. And I'll tell you why. Sleep is one of those things that impacts about, you know, so many different systems in the body, so many different processes. When you don't sleep enough, it increases stress hormones. When the stress hormones are increased, you eat more, you eat more sugar. If the stress hormones put fat around the waist, the stress hormones can shrink an area of the brain called the hippocampus, which is involved in thinking and memory and long-term memory. So reducing stress is really, and stress is one of my four horsemen of aging in my book, The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. So one way that you can, you know, do this double whammy of kind of reducing some stress and also helping your body to rejuvenate and replace many biochemicals that are made during sleep is to improve your sleep. Most of us simply don't sleep enough, and when we do sleep, we don't sleep properly. Now, what do I mean by that? How can you not sleep properly? Well, you know, as I explained in the book, there are really four stages of sleep plus REM. And in order to really have the body do what it's supposed to do while it's sleeping, you really need to cycle through those stages a number of times during the course of a night. And you need to do that as much as possible uninterrupted, and it needs to be a deep sleep. And needs to be a restful sleep. And there are things we can do to create that. Number one is never fall asleep with the television set on. In fact, I like to tell people, and I can't follow this advice myself, but if you can follow this advice, you'll be way ahead of the game. Get the TV out of the bedroom altogether.
Yeah, I do that.
It doesn't belong there. I've been unable to follow that piece of advice, but I do turn it. I never fall asleep to the TV. So you really want to keep the bedroom for two things only, and they're both very pleasurable, sleeping and the other thing. It's not an office. You're not Hugh Hefner. You don't work in the bedroom. You don't work in your pajamas. You don't need a computer and a BlackBerry and an iPad and an iPod. You don't need all that stuff in the bedroom. The bedroom should be for escape from the world, for rest, for recuperation, for relaxation, and not as a second office. So that's number one. Go to bed a little earlier. It's very hard for people to sleep later on a regular basis. It's much easier to extend your sleep by going to bed a little bit earlier. If you've got a lot of cares and things on your mind, one technique that's been used by a lot of, you know, kind of transformational, change-your-life type speakers and thinkers is write down the biggest worries that you've got right now. Put them on a piece of paper and then put them aside. They'll be there in the morning. You can worry about them and then just take a time out. Write them down, let them be, don't think about them for now, and just let them go for now. Some people even suggest burning that piece of paper. You know, keep the bedroom moderately cool. Think about changing your mattress if you can afford it, or getting, you know, nicer, comfy sheets. and really make that sleep a full, restive experience. And that will do a number of things as far as aging and health go. Will reduce your stress hormones, which will in turn reduce, you know, mindless overeating the next day. It will protect your brain because it will protect it from, you know, tremendous levels of stress hormones that can shrink sections of it. Now, will it do everything? No. But it goes, think of how better you feel when you've had a really good night's sleep than when you're slightly sleep deprived. And there's studies up the wazoo on this. The most accidents, the most fatalities on the highway happen the day after daylight savings time. That's 1 hour of sleep disruption. And it causes, you know, a double-digit increase in accidents and fatalities on the highway the next day. So, you know, sleep's very, very important. That's one change you could make right away. Second change you could make right away is to start to shop the perimeter of the grocery stores. Shop for color. If it doesn't have color in it, don't buy it. Except the only exceptions to that would be chicken and cauliflower. Everything else, look for reds and blues and greens and purples and all those things. Those are nature's way of protecting the plants from oxidation, and they do the same thing for you. So you want to look for, you know, the most fresh foods that spoil. If it doesn't spoil, if it's a food that you could leave outside and it wouldn't spoil, like a Twinkie, it doesn't belong in your kitchen or in your tummy.
It's interesting when they study the fact that those things do not get attacked by insects. It's because the insect seems to have a higher intelligence in terms of choice of nutritious
yeah.
foods.
Mm-hmm. All true.
They will stay forever, and of course they have all kinds of toxins that initiate cellular message to begin the production of cancer. So those
all
are
true.
Things that would be best to avoid.
Mm-hmm. All
now,
true.
You talk a lot about stress as being, you know, that's a big topic because... Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone who's stress-free in today's environment. How do
you can't
bring that down?
You can't be stress-free, and there are a couple of interesting things to say about that. The first is, we all know people like this. I think our president is a perfect example of this. They're fairly implacable. In the face of amazing stressors, in the face of things that would just drive the average person, you and I, off the wazoo, They maintain a certain calm. And that has led to a lot of speculation and research that there may be some, that it's not so much the stressor, the thing that happens, as it is the person being stressed, the receiver. How do we deal with it? It's because we are not going to live in a stress-free world. And we're just not. And there are going to be some things that are just going to make mincemeat out of any of us because they're just so horrendous. Katrina, 9/11. I mean, there are some things that are just, you know. But even in the midst of that, you'll notice some people were able somehow to rise above it, to turn it into an opportunity, to make the best of it, such as it is. To, you know, I have not seen this show, but it'll be on by the time I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this. I've heard a lot of buzz about it. It's called The Big C, and it's a new Showtime series about a woman who's got a diagnosis of cancer. And from people who have seen the previews of it, it is the most inspiring, optimistic, life-affirming thing they've ever seen. So, I mean, we all know stories of people who've had, you know, tremendous stressors in their life and have somehow managed out of the rubble of that to create something wonderful. And if they can do that with cancer, 9/11, and Katrina, I think we can do that with traffic. I think we might be able to do that with a deadline. So the point is that how we react to stressors is probably a bigger factor. And a lot of us try to just remove the stressors from our life. Well, you can't do that. You can't change the weather. You can't change the traffic. You can't change the fact that your teenager is a teenager. So what we can do is try to work on our inner machinery so that we're better able to cope with those kinds of things. And I think we can do that by some deep breathing every day, 4 or 5 minutes a day of just silence, deep breathing. Concentrating on your breath doesn't have to be the airy-fairy and meditation. I haven't ever been able to really meditate, so I'm not a great example of that. I believe it is probably the most healthful thing you can do to release, lower stress levels and put your brain in a very receptive state. I'm just not able to do it. But I am able to sit quietly and breathe for 5 minutes. Just sit out on my patio, and, you know, just with in a comfortable position.
So what goes on in your mind while you're doing that, John? Because that's what meditation is. It gives you a focus so that you're not sitting there worrying while you're deep breathing.
And everyone who meditates will tell you that that was the first challenge, is to try to quiet the mind. That's what it's all about. And it's very hard for someone like me because my mind's always chattering. But, you know, I'll just count the breath. I'll count in for seven, out for seven. If my mind wanders a little, I just bring it back to that. And I just basically just quiet, you know, try to quiet my mind. And if it won't quiet, it chatters away. And then meanwhile, I count the in and the out, and I exhale. There are a lot of little tricks you can use, like picturing a big circle and writing the number seven, then erasing it and putting in six, and then erasing it and putting it in five. You know, there's a lot of tricks you can use to just sort of focus on something very neutral and breath. Sometimes what I do is I let words flow through my mind in with each breath, and they're all words like joy, health, positive, pleasure, prosperity, contribution. I just let the words just sort of pre-associate these words and send them out to the universe with every breath. I'm telling you, that's a very effective way to build up your abilities to deal with stress and also to reduce stress in your life.
But you actually have to take the time and do that.
We're talking 5 minutes, Ellen.
Absolutely. That's what I tell people. A good place to do that is get to wherever you're going early in your car, shut everything off, including your cell phone. And you're insulated, and no one can even find you, not even the dog.
Fabulous idea. That's a really good idea.
So that's one way. But it is about recognizing the importance of decreasing the release of those stress hormones, and that you can so easily do it like you explained.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, what would be some of the superfoods that we want to be sure to bring into our diet, even if we don't give up everything that we think might not be perfect?
Well, certainly, we can start with the classic ones that have, you know, been in every article I've ever contributed, the 10 best foods you're not eating, all of these things. Name your berry, they always include berries. My favorite is blueberries, but they all work. Blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, raspberries, elderberries, you know, you name it. If it's a berry, it's good for you. So we can certainly eat more berries. We could eat more nuts. I don't want to start quoting statistics here, but you look at the nurses' health study, the health professionals' follow-up study, any of these long-term studies, or the Seventh-day Adventist study, you know, people who eat, depends on the research, let's say 5 ounces of nuts a week, 1 ounce a day for 5 days, that kind of thing, moderate nut consumption during the week, have lower rates of heart disease and all kinds of other stuff. It's a generally very, very protective food.
That's an easy one. One thing is people can actually bring organic nut butters in their car, and eating a spoonful of that with nothing, no bread, will make you feel so full. It's amazing. What a wonderful thing to try.
Absolutely true.
Believe it or not, we're getting so close to the end of our show that I do want to give you a chance to tell people where to find you and some of the interesting things that are going on.
Well, thank you. My website is johnnyboden.com. There's no H in Johnny. It's JonnyBowden. And that's my Twitter name, and I am pretty active on Twitter, so please feel free to follow me on Twitter, Johnny Bowden, JonnyBowden. And my books are all available on Amazon, and you can see pictures of them on my website, but they're available on Amazon at Costco and Barnes & Noble. You can just put me into Google and you'll find me everywhere.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest right here today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, inviting you to email us as well through the website naturalnurse.com or on Facebook at The Natural Nurse. And thank you so much for joining us today right here on Progressive Radio Network. Stay healthy.